I'm here trying to decide whether to allow for any question, because the lesson which we have been on over the past many weeks, dealing with the moral use of memory, I would like to have a final lesson on it, on the subject. Yet, if there is a question relating to the lesson this morning, let me see if I can accommodate it, if there is any such question. Yeah, but if there is none, I am glad. Yet, if there are, because what I consider the question asks, the clarification sought, I always consider it important, and anything that is important to a brother or a sister or a stranger, a visitor, should be important to us. If getting a better understanding of God's will, God's word, is what is being sought. And this is why I usually allow for that opportunity to be exercised. I may just drop to that. I'm not sure at this point, but I have been encouraged to continue the lesson. That is, I've at least one more sermon on it. And there are quite many important things to learn from the fact that Israel's time in the wilderness and journey to the promised land, that entire part of the Old Testament history, it has a lot of practical lesson, message, and implication for us in the church today. And it is for that reason I'm thinking seriously that I may have another lesson as a continuation Sunday coming. Okay, so we pick up now. Last week, when we had that lesson on the moral use of memory, that is, using our memory in a right way, if you will remember, the last case we look at is where David, as a youth, literally save. The nation of Israel that day, because he remembered positive things that God did for him. That day, he's remembering what God did and therefore what God can do when the entire nation faced the Philistine and especially the giant Goliath. Because David remembered, he was able not only to take a stand, but to give courage and confidence to the rest of the Israelites. The Almighty God worked for them. Memory. When we use our memory carelessly, it brings a lot of terrible consequences. I mean, I'm talking us today, not only in the spiritual realm, but also in the secular. And somebody may say, but Brother Mitchell, my memory is not good. Yes, well, but for many of us, in many cases, it's not so much that the memory is not what we want it to be. It's a lot of time we are lazy to try to remember. We don't think the thing is that important. If we pick up on the lesson this morning, next week, I'll be showing that or asking, why did Israel make so many mistakes that were obviously foolish mistakes? They did not take God seriously in many cases. And it is the same with many of us. Memory. Using our memory morally. Memory properly used. This last lesson on the subject of using our memory morally, it takes a little different swing. But you'll find tonight's lesson, it's quite applicable to our everyday life, dealing with one another. I mean right now in the church, at work, at home. And we'll be looking at some six, seven, or eight examples. One of the things we'll be addressing up front in this lesson is the sentimental religiousness that sometimes we bring into Christianity. And I call it sentimental because some reasoning that people bring into Christianity, it's not biblical, and it is not practical, and it is not wise. And we must be careful that we do not misrepresent Christ and Christianity with our sentimentality, our feelings. Memory properly used can help us to take steps to protect the gospel, to protect the church and to protect self. Memory properly used, wisely used. Yes, our memory can help us to learn to take steps whereby the gospel is either protected or enhanced. The church is either protected or enhanced, or even our personal self is protected. Case one. Untrustworthiness was wisely remembered. Now, sentimentality would say, well, a person did something 6 months ago. Forget that, man. Forget that. But Christianity doesn't look on it like that. To forgive is one thing, where it lies in our power, our ability to forgive. And the gospel encourages that for us as Christians. But there are situations where when it is looked on, you will notice that while some people will brush some things one side, they forget that, man. Christianity will tell us that it is wise that we not only remember, but that we learn from it. And I've just mentioned untrustworthiness was wisely remembered. This is found in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 36 through 39. Read for us aloud. Read for us aloud. One of your brothers, Acts 15, from verse 36 to about verse 39, we are dealing with untrustworthy, when a person is not trustworthy, when you cannot depend on a brother or a sister. Are we there? Situation will come up where members will say, well, forget that. There are some things it's good to forget. There are some things it is not. Here is untrustworthiness that was remembered, and when we examine it, I think every well-thinking person will say the man was right to have remembered and to use it to guide a present action that comes up in the life of that person. Let us hear the passage.
And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia.
Brother Vivian, we could almost say one who has proven untrustworthy, because that's exactly what had happened previously. Read that little part again, brother.
But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other.
I'm quite conscious of blood ties and friendship ties in the church. Over the years, I have seen what it can do. Where sometimes things which are so obviously contrary, because a friend is involved or a relative is involved, a brother or a sister will take side. And year by year, I have come to become quite sensitive to blood ties and friendship ties in the church. Yet, I am one who strongly feels that it's great when you have families in the church. That's right. You or I convert my brother and sister and uncle and aunt. That's great. We want more of that. But let not blood ties, friendship ties, blind us and destroy our objectivity, our honesty. John Mark was Barnabas noise.
Called Mark, but Paul.
Verse 36, 37.
Brothers.
Acts chapter 15, 37, somewhere about there.
Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Barnabas was uncle to John Mark. You see the blood ties, the connection. Paul, on principle, felt that this guy, John Mark, he was a part of the body of Christ. When we were depending on having his support, his company, when I went on that mission 2 or 3 months ago, right when I needed that support, the man walked away and decided, they said, I'm not coming. But now we are taking another journey, and it seems as if it was all nice and thin for John Mark. John Mark wanted to go, but Paul didn't forget. Rightly so, his untrustworthiness in a previous journey on behalf of the cause of Christ. Barnabas being John Mark's uncle, push aside John Mark's untrustworthiness. Paul, rightly so, couldn't afford to push that aside. Paul stand, any well-thinking brother or sister would agree with Paul's stand. Because if 6 months ago I needed your support in taking a journey for Jesus Christ, and you decided right then to just leave us alone, you withdraw your support, then my God, common sense would tell me that when I'm going on another journey, don't depend on you. Untrustworthiness, it was wisely remembered in this case. But we move on to a second case, where unfaithful conduct. You see, what you're going to notice, these are cases where so many people, brothers and sisters in the church, when they come up, we'll say, well, forgive, no, forget. Yes, we are to be glad and willing to forgive. And there are many situations that calls for that. But there are some that has implication. We're forgetting is not a wise option.
Wait.
You don't remember to take revenge. That's not why you ought to remember. Whatever the situation, if you remember so as to be vindictive and vengeful, then you just add to your ungodliness. In all the cases that we'll be looking at, the child of God who remembered a doubt, we'll be looking on some, if times allow, some 6-7 cases. And I doubt if there is one that you could call it vengeful or vindictive. They are the exercise of memory in a wise, Christ-like way to either protect or renounce the gospel, to either protect, guide the church, or to protect one's person. So as I've said, the other case is unfaithful conduct and blasphemy was remembered. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? A Christian who had shown unfaithfulness and had blasphemed against the church, this was remembered, not to take revenge on the person, not to be vindictive, but to protect the church, the gospel, and one's person. Let us turn to it in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, 18 through 20. Read for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. We are looking on the wise, proper, godly use of memory. Let us hear it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think, verse 18 through 20.
This charge I entrust you.
Paul is writing to the young preacher, Timothy. And he gave him a charge in respect to conduct, behavior, etc. in the church. I just dropped by here too, you know, that in your prayers that you pray for the Port Antonio congregation. They are going through and you know, I am saddened by the situation that they went through just a few years ago. And they need our prayers. And we come back also to the business of migration, where I have never, over the umpteen years, I've never cast any negative idea in respect to any brother, preacher, whoever feel, and quite a lot of our good preachers have migrated over the years. Quite a lot of our faithful, strong, knowledgeable men from this congregation have migrated over the years, and we are saddened by it, but if they feel that they need to pursue particular goals that are going to take them in foreign land, okay. But it has done a lot. As I've said at the lectureship or the thing that the Mani Church had, Brother Kidu pointed out what migration has done to some of the congregation. Because, now I haven't forgotten what I'm saying, but in fact, even this morning I want to point this out. We'll be discussing it in men's class, whereby Brother Carson Daly did a wonderful job years ago as a young man, having taken over the work in Port Antonio. And there were some sisters there who literally want to drive him away. I mean, my God, they did everything to get rid of Carson, that is Super Daly's son. And that young man took a stand. Until things were brought back to normal. They literally, my God, the things that can happen. And if we just learn from them, if we let our memory help us to understand what sometimes can happen. The very same thing by some of those same sister is now as if it were giving notice to the young preacher who took over because Carson Daly has migrated. And the same thing is repeating itself. It is so sad. I'm hoping that we will look at it in men's. In fact, when I heard about it, I felt if had it not been for a few things, I would probably get one or two people with myself and take a trip over to Port Antonio. I've done so much preaching at that congregation when it started. And I feel for the young man that is there now. I haven't forgotten my lesson. You know, but it's memory and the things that can happen to the church and how migration has affected the church. oh my God. You know, when I speak to Matthew, that is the positive side of migration from here, Patrick City. When I speak to Matthew 2-3 days ago, he was sharing with me that he was made an assistant minister at the congregation where he's active. And I said, anywhere Patrick City members go, they shine. And that's a fact. All over, anywhere they go, they shine. We are only sorry that over the years, and especially over the past two or three years, we have been so affected. But as I've said, more discussion on this Tuesday night at men's class. We are on unfaithful conduct and blasphemy. Was not forgotten. The very thing that sometimes brothers or sisters will say, well, forget that. Yes, some things we are to forget. Some things we dare not forget because of the price that you'd have to pay when you forget. Let us hear the passage in 1 Timothy 1:18-20.
This charge I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you.
That's right. You must remember that Timothy was a young preacher, but he was properly guided by Paul. Paul is giving him directive. Read on.
That by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith.
That is, by rejecting the faith is the teachings of Christ. Watch here. The teachings of Christ is the faith. And Paul is encouraging the young preacher Timothy to hold tightly to the teachings of Jesus Christ. He pointed out that some have already rejected the faith. He's going to name names. Read on.
Among whom are Hymenaeus, Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
What I like about this, Paul was not afraid to call name. That's right. I believe he named two persons there, Hymenaeus and Alexander. That's, I believe, right. That's the coppersmith Alexander. Because he's going to be named or mentioned somewhere else. But what Paul is implying here is that they have abandoned the teachings of Jesus Christ, the faith. And you know what? They were not satisfied with that. They spoke bad against the teachings of Christ and the church. That's how comes blasphemy comes into the picture. What verse you start?
That's the end of 20.
That's enough. So here, we are dealing with unfaithful conduct. We are dealing with blasphemous words against the teachings of Christ, against the brethren, against the church. Paul, remember, not to be vindictive here. That's not why it's brought up. Not to take revenge. But as you will notice, it's wise for him to remember so as to protect the church. He is telling the young preacher Timothy to be on guard against people like this. And wherever the church of Christ is, and you find men or women who show no respect for the gospel of Christ, you cannot afford to forget that person. That was the second case. Can we look at the third case? Here is another case of ungodly behavior that is remembered. The person is not only named, but the preacher warned against this person. Look at this time, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. We have looked at two cases so far, and in both cases, remembering the memory is the leader in these situations. Let us hear the third case. Ungodly behavior is remembered. A person is named, and it's not only named, but the person is warned against. Let us hear it.
But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness.
Stop there, my. Irreverent what? Babbles. It's talking, you know. The people who speak and they show no reverence, either for the word of God, for the church, or whatever. Paul told Timothy, avoid those type of discussion and those type of people. Read on.
And their talk will spread like gangrene.
That's right. You see, the way they speak, it spread like a disease, a contagion. Just the way they speak. And Paul is encouraging the young preacher to stay away from people like Rita.
Among them are Amenius.
Paul is never afraid to call names. That's right. Among those that I'm warning you against are
Amenius,
uh-huh,
and Philetus,
uh-huh,
who have swerved from the truth.
You hear again? Serve from the truth. They swing away from the truth. Sticking with the truth is important. It has always been important to the Almighty God and in our salvation. The truth is that which makes all the difference. Read on.
Saying that the resurrection has already happened.
Uh-huh.
They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal.
Thanks be to God that God's foundation stands. You see, these two members, backsliding members, ungodly men who have walked away from the church, they use their mouth to guide other members of the body of Christ away from the truth. Isn't it wise to remember people like this? Yes! Always. Verse 18 has been read.
Yes. The Lord knows those who are his. And that let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity.
God knows those who belong to him. That is a great assurance. I'm going to share one more example. There are some, four more examples. We'll probably share one or two more, and the lesson will be yours. Watch here now, and this is one of the case that sometimes bothers, and how do you deal with this? That is, where some evil or wrong is done to your person. You are encouraged to remember, not to remember to take revenge, no, but to remember to protect self and to protect the truth. Not to remember to be vindictive or to take revenge. Let us look at it in the book of 2 Timothy again, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. We are looking on evil that has been done to a person. The person, remember, but it is used as a protection, not to carry out revenge. That is always against God's will. Let us hear it in the book of 2 Timothy 4, verse 14 through 15.
Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm.
Wait, start again. Paul is writing. This jeweler, yes, he's a coppersmith, had done Paul a lot of harm. Read.
Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds.
I wonder what type of pay God going to pay him. Paul is talking like he look forward for the pay that God going to pay Alexander. Read on.
Beware of him yourself.
Now this is wise. You see, what you notice here is Paul's bad negative experience with this brother who had backslidden is being used used for Timothy to be mindful of it so that he does not fall into the trap where this man may do him the same evil that he did to Paul. Listen to the passage again. Read again, Brother Vivian.
Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposes our message.
You hear that? He opposed the truth of Jesus Christ. He did that when Paul was among him and his company, or when he was where Paul preached. And Paul was afraid that when Timothy did his work there in Ephesus, these two people would carry on in their same devilish ment. So, was Paul wrong to remember this man's evil? Definitely not in my book, not in Paul's book, not in God's book either. Because Paul is using it to help protect the truth and to help to guide Timothy from the evil of this man. Is there somebody who will say to me, well, forget it, no, Brother Mitchell? No. There are some things we cannot afford to forget. Our memory need to retain them so as to help us to walk right. The other two cases, I may share it another time. But let me just share this one because I may not come back to this lesson. Just one more. That is, in this one, we see egotistical, devilish, ungodly conduct and behavior is remembered and recalled with a view to taking preventative steps. Let me go over that. Egotistical, devilish, and godly conduct. Here, one of Christ's apostles was dealing with a man in the church that self-interest was his thing. He wanted to have the preeminence. And you find that. You find that sometimes. to the extent that even the apostle that went to preach where he was, he put up opposition. For him, it was nothing about Christ. It was all about himself. Preeminence, ego. And you have this in the church. Let us hear it in 3 John. It has only one chapter. So let us hear from verse 9 and verse 10.
I have written something to the church.
Mm-hmm.
But Diotrephes would like
to... I have written something to the church.
But Diotrephes...
Diotrephes
who likes to put himself first.
Here again, you see the egotistical behavior, like to put himself first.
Does not acknowledge our authority.
Does not acknowledge the authority of the apostle. That's ego. Read on.
So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing.
I will do what?
Bring up what he is doing.
That is, John is saying, when I come among you again, I won't forget what he has done. Read on.
Talking wicked nonsense against us.
Uh-huh.
And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. And
not only against the apostle, other brothers who come to serve the church. He was antagonistic against them. You'd be surprised some things that you can see go on in the church. But here is an example. Verse 10 finish.
And refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church.
You get that? This man went all out to make the church his personal possession, our business place. You have this in the church. So even in the time of the apostle, here John points out that when he comes among them again, he's not going to forget this man's behavior. I agree with him not to forget. And I have no doubt that God agrees with him. We are going to stop here.